everyone. Welcome back to the Cincinnati Inquirer Studios downtown in Cincinnati. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the studio with podcast producer Sam Green and Phil Didion. We are back. We took some time off the season after we went to the Senior Bowl. And if you missed those episodes, I have a Q&A with Bengals Director of Personnel Duke Tobin and Bengals Director of College Scouting Mike Potts, and it's available wherever you get your podcast. So if you want some draft information from Mike Potts, he got you covered there. And it was a great conversation with Duke Tobin, and we went through the entire roster. But today we are going to talk about the Bengals and where things stand at this point in the offseason. As I just mentioned, the offseason is now officially underway. After the season, Zach Taylor and his staff had some time to get away from work, recharge, and get ready for a very important offseason. And now that the Super Bowl has been played, all the coaches are back, the scouts are in the building, and they are full ahead planning for free agency and the draft, which are quickly coming because free agency is almost a month away. And if you think about just how fast that comes up on you, they are making important decisions about the roster right now, and we're going to get into some of them. But today's conversation is going to be specific to what the Bengals are going to do with star receiver T. Higgins, because that is the first domino to fall in this offseason. Starting February 20th, that is the window that the Bengals can apply the franchise tag on Higgins. After that comes the combine, and then after the combine comes free agency, and we will get to all of that and have coverage on all of that. But specifically to Higgins and this deadline coming up as the window starts on February 20th, will they decide to place the tag on him, or will they decide to let him become a free agent? We're going to talk about it here. And I wanted to bring on someone who knows contracts better than any person I know, and that is of Spotrac.com, Mike Ginetti, and he is the brains behind that whole operation. And if you like contract details, finances, talking about salary cap, he is a genius when it comes to that stuff. And he spent some time with me today talking about the ramifications for if the Bengals decide to tag Higgins on $21 million and pay him that this year, or what it would look like with a tag and trade. So here is my conversation with Mike.
And now joining me is someone we've had on the show before, and that is Mike Ginetti from Spotrac, which is, if you are looking for any information regarding player, professional athlete, contracts, and financials, this is where you want to go. I use this site all the time. I know that a lot of other reporters and fans like to look into what contracts look like, and this is the place to go. So, Mike, first of all, thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited to have you back on the show because the last time you came on, we were talking about the Burrow contract, and it was one of my favorite podcast episodes because of how much you explained everything. So thank you so much for taking some time today to talk with me.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's a big off season in Cincinnati, so there's plenty more to get to for sure.
I know. And so it's funny you say that because it's like the Super Bowl happens and then it's like the next day, essentially, like that starts the 2024 season, even though like the league year doesn't really start until free agency, of course. But there's still a lot to talk about. And I think it's interesting because as a reporter, it feels like you say every year, like this is a big off season for your team that you're covering. But for Cincinnati, I think it's really interesting because of where they were before the Joe Burrow contract, the Chiefs winning again, and what now comes. And I think there's a couple things I wanted to hit on. We're mostly going to talk about T. Higgins, the franchise tag in this episode, but in specific to the Bengals, Patrick Mahomes winning that Super Bowl with the third largest cap hit, I think, changed a lot of narratives that teams cannot win the whole thing with these big quarterback contracts. And now the Bengals have to start planning for that. But so much of that is decisions you make and who you move on from, and like the Chiefs moving on from Tyreek Hill. So the Bengals kind of find themselves in an offseason that's different because last year the focus was the quarterback's contract. Now they've got that done and out of the way, and now the focus is on the rest of the team and the receivers. So I want to start out by talking about the franchise tag. in a couple of weeks, the window is going to open for teams to apply the franchise tag on a player if they choose to do so. There's been a lot of conversation over the last couple of months of what are the Bengals going to do with T. Higgins. I was at the Senior Bowl, and from everyone I talked to, it seemed like the likelihood of them applying the tag on T is expected. And it honestly kind of surprised me because I reported prior to the start of the season that in talking to sources all over the league that the Bengals did not get close with T. Higgins last offseason. And that signaled to me that the two, there wasn't going to be a future there. And that was also told to me that he wasn't believed to be in their future plans from multiple sources there. But here we are, and it seems like all signs point to them at least placing the tag on him. And we'll get into the layers of that. But what do you think, based off of the way you've seen teams at the highest level build around these hefty quarterback contracts, what do you anticipate the Bengals doing with T. Higgins in terms of if you think they're going to apply the franchise tag or not?
It seems like it's a foregone conclusion. I agree with you. I think it's been back and forth. And I think the proper way forward financially is probably a bit of a 50-50 decision because you know what's coming on the back of this, right? With Jamar Chase, with DJ Reader, there's a lot of other mouths to feed here, likely this season. So it's probably not an easy decision, but I do believe that because of what we just saw with Kansas City and with Buffalo and with Miami, right? And now with Houston and with Baltimore, you just can't take a step back right now unless you have T. Higgins covered on your roster. And I'm not sure they do. Maybe they will in April. maybe the plan is to reset this thing from a rookie contract standpoint in April and then pay Jamar Chase shortly after that and run forward. But I think right now the easy decision is just slap the $21 million on T. Higgins. You have the cap space to do so. Not many teams do, by the way, right now. So that is a benefit that Cincinnati has afforded themselves. And it'll be a Jesse Bates type situation where they weren't close with Jesse Bates. They didn't even get into the stratosphere with where he landed in Atlanta, right? I mean, it wasn't even in the same ballpark. And that's probably how they assess T. Higgins. He didn't have the greatest season. So maybe they lowball a multi-year extension somewhere in the $16 million per year range. That would probably go well with whatever Jamar Chase is about to do, right? It's probably half of what Jamar Chase is about to secure at $31, $32 million a year. So a lowball offer, an absolute franchise tag for 1 year, and then he probably walks away just like Jesse Bates did a year ago.
So let's talk a little bit about what happens if they do place the tag on him, how that affects the rest of the Bengals salary cap. I mean, you just briefly brought it up, but how does that affect if they are going to say, we are comfortable paying him $21 million for one more season? How does that affect what they can do in free agency? Because they have a lot of other holes that you could argue they could use that money. That money could be better served covering other positions. So let's take a little bit of a look at how paying T. Higgins $21 million for one season would affect what they can do in free agency here in a month.
So we got about $55, $56 million to work with once we talk about, you know, some of the minimum salaries and tenders that come over the next couple of weeks here. Take 21 off of that, take another 15 off for the draft, and you're at about the $20 to $25 million mark, which is a decent amount of operating space come March 13th, if that's what you're running with. This is just how contenders work. You know, you're not going to have major contenders with a quarterback under contract that are going to be flush with the amount of cap space you need to go and make a huge splash in free agency. So the Chiefs really are the model right now. You know, this is year two of now Joe Burrow. It hasn't really gotten to the catastrophic cap hit number yet. It's going to get there soon. But the issue I see with Cincinnati isn't can they spend or will they have the capital to spend? It's are they willing to do what it takes? And the conversation with that turns to restructuring contracts and cap conversion, something this front office just doesn't do. And they held on Joe Mixon until the very last minute and got what they wanted, which is a brand new contract that worked for both sides. So if they're willing to go that route and start to push some of this cap hit down the line a little bit, like really every other team in the football has done, then you can start talking about splashes and splash signings, splash extensions all at one time. But otherwise, it's going to look a lot like Kansas City, which is they're going to feel deficient in some areas. There's going to be a lot of really low paid, you know, salaries to some important positions. You may have to lose a player like DJ Reader, like they did with Bates last year, and just hope you can sort of account for it. But this is how it operates. And Cincinnati, you know, failing to restructure contracts with any kind of brevity has been something I'm monitoring, because I'm not sure that you can pay Joe Burrow and pay Ja'Marr Chase and pay a left tackle like they've done and try to keep a right tackle with some sort of, you know, experience and not move cap down the line and try to stay afloat. So it's fascinating to me that to me is why it's a big offseason. It really has nothing to do with Ja'Marr Chase and $100 million and wherever we're going there. It's the nerdiness of, will this team actually change their course a little bit and start to play like everybody else is, which is not that the cap isn't real, right? But for now, we need to make it go away. We need to make this cap space work in our favor so that we can contend in 2024 alone.
I have a couple of follow-up questions. So if they are to place the tag on T. Higgins this year, what you're saying is that fans should temper their expectations of a shopping spree in free agency. And the reason I bring that up is because of some of the holes that the Bengals have, whether it be at defensive tackle, safety. They now need a safety because it didn't quite work out with Dax Hill. I know they're not going to give up on him, but I'm not sure that they view him as the starting free safety of the future. So those are two positions that you could say they need, and a right tackle, a starting right tackle, because I think Jonah Williams played his last game with the Bengals this past season. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they had a big offseason in the year that they signed Mike Hilton, Chidobe Awuzie, and Trey Hendrickson. And they nailed that free agency, and it totally worked itself into a big reason why they went to the Super Bowl the next year. Are they not able to do something like that if you place the $21 million tag on T. Higgins?
It certainly makes it harder. I'm not going to say it's impossible, because like I said, you start to do the math and you subtract out the 21, you subtract out some of the restricted tenders and things like that, and you're not at zero and you're not in the negatives. So you're a heck of a lot better off than half the league. Let's put it that way. So can they move some things around? Maybe there's a couple of releases that can help that over the next couple of weeks. Tempering is the right word. I wouldn't say, you know, bury it. The idea of bringing in 2 to 3 players, like you mentioned, to sort of reset this thing a little bit, because I do think every team should consider doing that. It's not, you know, complacency is a problem in this league for some organizations. And if you're not willing to restructure, then you're going to have to release to get to stay comfortable. But tempering is the right word. It's not going to be splashy in terms of how it looks right now. But if you can subtract a little bit and free up a little bit more cap space to where you're in the 30s come March 13th, then you can make some things happen. Because remember, anyone you sign, generally speaking, that first year of the contract isn't going to be a huge cap hit. So you can make it work in year one. It's year two, generally, where the pain starts to set in.
Whose contracts on Cincinnati's current roster have you looked at and said, this could be one where they potentially either have to restructure or move on from, because they did restructure Trey Hendrickson's contract before training camp last year?
They did. And it's, you know, that's still one of the higher cap hits on the entire roster right now. So Burrow and Hendrickson are the only two over 20. You know, you're looking at a situation where it's not so much players you want to move on from. It's just, can they push some of this into signing bonus and make it all work? If they were any other team, Kelsey, I could free up $40 million with five of these restructures. I just know that's not how they want to do business. So will some of these smaller pieces fall off the roster? Maybe. But I do think they like a lot of what they have in terms of their core players. This is not an expensive roster right now. They've done a really nice job with players like Hendrickson. And we talked about the Burrow contract. It's really set up for the next couple of seasons to work in the team's favor. So is there a way to move on from some situations? Maybe, but I do think that this is a roster that is largely intact, and some of the position groups that you mentioned just have to be replaced probably in April via the draft more than anything, with maybe one or two notable signings coming this March. But nothing crazy. It's more about can you keep your own versus are we adding and adding and adding and adding to stay up with the Chiefs? You just have to have a couple of things go right in your direction, and I think you're going to be just fine for the 2024.
What about the notion of a tag in trade, and then option three would be to not apply the tag at all? What would that mean for the Bengals?
It's rare. We've seen it, you know, maybe every one or two years we see it come up in terms of being a possibility. We saw it with Devontae Adams, obviously with the Raiders and the Packers a couple years ago. It's certainly something that's on the table. It's not the best wide receiver free agent market, especially if T. Higgins is tagged and taken off of that free agent market. It's a pretty good draft, though. So when you put those two things together, is it likely that a team will acquire T. Higgins at $21 million and then, you know, the wink, wink, have to sign him immediately to an extension because that's how every agent operates out there? It's possible. He's certainly one of the top two players becoming available right now. And if Cincinnati wants to do business in that regard, it's a smart way to operate. I really do think this is one of those situations they should at least consider after they slap the tag on him, because let's be honest, he's not going to sign this tag, right? It's going to be sitting out there. It's going to be an elephant in the room for a few months here, especially as it pertains to Jamar Chase and maybe bringing back Tyler Boyd on something team friendly as well. So there's a world where they're going to have time on their side, but they may have to entertain every single offer that's out there, including the possibility of moving him on that $21 million.
What about the option of them not tagging him at all? What would have that $21 million allow them to do? Do you think that's an option at all or not at this point?
Yeah, I do. You know, if you can roll into March 13th with $40 million plus, then you're a real player. You know, you're a destination because of Joe Burrow. You're a destination because of the success you've had in the postseason, and you're flush with cap space. So you're in the situation where Houston and Detroit are falling into right now, where they're kind of the darlings that have everything, good draft assets, good cap space, essentially, across the board. But, you know, you're letting T. Higgins walk away for at what will be at best a third round compensatory draft pick in 2025. So I'm not sure that's the risk they want to take. To your point, they're probably better off tagging him and immediately trying to trade him for better draft compensation than you would get in 2025, just letting them walk away.
And if there is one year that when you look at the Burrow contract that you think, looking forward, what's going to be the year that contract really starts to hinder what they can do in terms of contracts for other people?
Right. We just saw Mahomes win the whole thing at about $38 million. So the ceiling is changing because the salary cap for the league is going up at a really nice clip, and teams aren't afraid to have dead cap and large cap hits really throughout their entire season now. So looking at Burrow's contract, it's not even $30 million this year. It's about $46 million next year, and then it's $48 million and change the year after that. So those are the 3 years where, in a perfect world, you don't have to touch them at all. You know, you don't have to do anything to them. You can just say, hey, we're dealing with this one singular gigantic cap hit, and we're gonna massage the roster around it appropriately to make it all work for us. That's the window. It's about 2 to 3 more seasons where Burrow's contract really doesn't really hamper you too much when you're talking about percentage against the league cap to hamper you from doing too much in terms of free agency and signing draft picks and all that. So it's not so much about that Burrow's under contract. It's what can you do now? Because it's a race, right? It's a race to make sure that you can get this roster maximized and obviously maximize your success. And before this thing gets into a situation where you have to start all over from ground zero, like you're seeing in Dallas with Dak Prescott, it feels like that contract just happened an hour and a half ago. And here we are again with the summer of Dak Prescott.
Right. Right. For sure. Well, I know you have another meeting to get to, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for stopping by and giving us all of this intel. And I look forward to being able to use your site to kind of guide me through the rest of the Bengals free agency. So thanks again, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Kelsey.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation. And I want to point out a couple of things and get into it a little bit further here. So as mentioned in that episode with Mike, is that the Bengals have a decision to make. And when I was in the Senior Bowl, I had a chance to talk to scouts, coaches all over the league. And I picked a lot of brains about what does the tag look like? What's the positives and negatives of it? And it's shaping up to look very similar to the dilemma the Bengals were in with Jesse Bates last year. But the reason it's different is because the tag for a receiver is a way higher number. So there's a big difference between paying someone $12 million for 1 year compared to $21 million, which is what the tag is going to be for the receiver position. So here are a couple of notes about where things stand and how the Bengals got to this point with Higgins. Going into the offseason last year, the biggest contract conversations the Bengals had were, how are we going to get a contract extension done for Joe Burrow? That was number one, starred, circled. That was the really important contract that they knew that they needed to get done. But they also were very aware of the fact that they have two number one receivers on their roster in Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And I reported prior to the start of the season through sources all over the league that the Bengals did not get close with Higgins on an extension last offseason. And typically what that means is that it doesn't seem likely that this time around they're going to get closer. Usually in the first go around, if you don't get close, it doesn't signal that that could be something that gets worked out in the future. And if you followed the history pattern, the Bengals and Jesse Bates were unable to reach an extension prior to his last season in Cincinnati. He then played on the tag but missed the whole offseason, didn't report for training camp. It was a whole situation. But then the year after playing on the tag, both sides realized they weren't even close on an extension. Jesse Bates hits free agency and signs with the Atlanta Falcons and gets a deal that he really wanted, so it ended up working out for him and the Bengals because they had one more year of one of their best defensive players and were able to make another run at the AFC Championship game. But the reason it's different with Higgins is because when you didn't get close, that means that the sides were too far apart. And the reason that it doesn't seem likely that they can close the gap isn't because the Bengals don't want Higgins. The Bengals absolutely love T. Higgins. It was one of their homegrown players they drafted. They think he is made of all of the right stuff. They love what he can do with Joe Burrow and line up across from Ja'Marr Chase. But Chase is the factor here. The Bengals knew that they were going to have to make a decision. Which of those receivers were they going to be able to shell out all the money that's going to be needed to pay a top tier wide receiver? And they're going to lean in the direction of Ja'Marr Chase. Duke Tobin told me that at the Senior Bowl that Chase is in the Bengals' future plan. So Bengals fans, if you're worried about if Chase is going to remain in Cincinnati, they are going to do everything they can to keep him and Joe Burrow together. But in order to do that, that means that they probably are going to have to move on from Higgins after this season if they decide to place the tag on him. And that's just how it works in the NFL. There's only so much money in the salary cap, and it's really hard to keep two number one receivers under contract for more than their rookie deal because the receiver market is just exploding. So what does the tag look like for Higgins and what does it mean? When you place a franchise tag, the number is preset based off of contracts of the highest paid players at that position and they take an average of it. So for Higgins, if he signs the tag, he is going to get a guaranteed $21 million for this season, which for him, that's a lot of money. So in no way, shape, or form would I believe that even if T. Higgins decides to not sign the tag right away, not come for the offseason and not come from training camp, would he decide to sit out on $21 million. He will play. The last player to not play is Le'Veon Bell, and he has since then said he regrets his decisions in Pittsburgh and how it ended. And similar to Jesse Bates, he didn't show up, but when push came to shove before the start of the season, he showed up to get the money. So if the Bengals decide to place the franchise tag on Higgins, he will get $21 million guaranteed no matter what for the season, even if he gets injured. So that is what he would get. That also counts directly against what the Bengals have in terms of money to spend in their salary cap this offseason. So what the Bengals have in their salary cap right now, you would subtract $21 million, and then you would also have to subtract what they're going to have to pay their draft pick. So although it seems like the Bengals have a lot of money this offseason to spend, those are important factors to keep in mind when you look at the total salary cap number that the Bengals are going to have this offseason. They've got a lot of holes that they need to fix in order to stay in contention and try and make another run at a Super Bowl in terms of right tackle, defensive tackle, safety. Where do they fill those holes with not a ton of money? That's where they're really going to have to start hitting on these draft picks. And they believe that they can do that with last year's class getting them a lot of playing time and starters, and they'll have to hit again this year. But if you decide to tag T. Higgins, yes, that means you get to keep one of your best players for one more year and make another run at a Super Bowl. But it means that you're going to miss out on potentially getting a top tier right tackle or a top defensive tackle. So the Bengals have to weigh their options in terms of how much do they value T. Higgins? Are they willing to pay him that much money? And who can they now not get because they decided to tag Higgins? And again, it is not a matter of if the Bengals want to keep Higgins. They absolutely love him. So does Joe Burrow. But this is where tough decisions come into play. When you have drafted and acquired a lot of good players, sometimes you have to move on from really good players. So we will see what they do. There is also the option of a tag and trade. And what that means is the Bengals decide to put the tag on T. Higgins to ensure he doesn't hit the market come the middle of March when free agency opens. But that doesn't mean that if another team is willing to come in and pay him the $21 million tag and negotiate a long-term extension for him, the Bengals would then get that money off their books and would also acquire draft picks, which is why, although it seems like the obvious decision, right? Because you would want to get something back if you're giving up one of your best players. That's a lot of money for someone to pay and give up draft picks. So teams might say, we're just going to wait one more year so that way we don't have to give up draft picks, but we're willing to pay him his long-term extension next year. So that's what you have to weigh pros and cons with a tag and trade. And that's why they don't happen that often, because you're giving up a lot of money and also draft picks. And teams do not like giving up draft picks and a lot of money. Usually you're comfortable giving up draft picks if you know that you are going to get something in return and you can plan for it. As you've seen teams trade for quarterbacks, it's always a hefty draft pick tag. But people plan for that. But with the tag and trade, they would have to pay T. Higgins right away, and likely his agent wouldn't let him go play for another team unless there was an extension in place. So that's what you have to factor in there with the tag and trade. There's also two other options here: that the Bengals and T. Higgins try again at an extension and they get closer and he's able to sign a deal and all is well and they're able to keep T. Higgins with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. That just doesn't seem likely. And based off of talking to sources, it seems like if the tag happens this year, that's likely the final year for T. Higgins in Cincinnati. And then the fourth option is they decide to not tag him and they say, we are going to let him hit the market because we think we need to use that money in other places and we are betting on our ability to draft and develop more receivers. And they could very well do that. And so that's what they're trying to figure out right now. And they have some more time to figure it out. But those are the four options there. And if they were to let him walk and hit free agency and signs with another team, the Bengals will get a compensatory pick. but compensatory picks are also dependent on who else the Bengals acquire in free agency. So there is a lot there. It can get pretty confusing. There's a lot of different scenarios, and I will do my best to try and break it all down in some articles leading up to the day that the window opens and throughout the window until the Bengals decide to make a decision. But just wanted to preview that date coming up because it'll be here before you know it. And really appreciate Mike joining us today to help provide some more insight from a contract standpoint, because as he mentioned, this is a big offseason for the Bengals. Joe Burrow is betting on his contract not really hitting the salary cap in a way that hinders the team for a couple more seasons. So these are the seasons where they can really go out and acquire more talent around their team, but it's all going to depend on what they decide to do with T. Higgins here in a couple weeks. All right, that is it for today's episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And like I said, we will be here every step of the way of a really important offseason. So be sure to keep it here. Subscribe and leave us comments on what you're looking for from us. We will try and make sure you have all your Bengals news all the time.